It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. I don't care what part, I don't care what nook or cranny, I don't care what hill, mountain, valley, lake that you happen to reside in or next to or behind. Thank you for being here. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, he's in New York City, and it's been a crazy day in the basketball world. Last night, Houston, they blow a chance at becoming national champs. The Florida Gators are your champions. Kelvin Sampson is sad. Earlier today in Denver, Colorado, the Denver Nuggets get rid of their head coach, Michael Malone, who helped them win a championship 2 years ago. Apparently, both he and the guy who runs the team, President GM Calvin Booth, former NBA player, by the way, they hated each other's guts. Roster decisions and playing time and preferential treatment amongst players, it just boiled down to the Kroenke family saying, we're going to fire both of you. Just a sad, sad world. Hey, how about this? In less than 24 hours, Luka Doncic, this man will be making his return to the Dallas Mavericks, another team that made a horrible decision. Denver Nuggets haven't matched what we got with Denver yet, or excuse me, Dallas, but Nikola Jokic might be wasting his prime years. We'll see what they do in the offseason, if anything. It's bad. Listen, I'll be with you for one more hour. We got a lot to discuss. Thank you so much to our guests. Last hour, Vinny Benedetto joined us from the Denver Gazette to break down the dysfunction that is the Denver Nuggets. And thank you as well to Mike LaTulip, former Illinois guard, Fighting Illini guard, also now college basketball analyst for the Field of 68. A thank you to Mike for joining us early in the show as well. Right before we went to commercial break, I was also asked about, you know, Shedeur Sanders and his draft stock, and is it going to fall? We'll get into that as well. And then, of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. One of the things, a man named Hammerin' Hank did something pretty amazing. He broke a record of his own this day years ago. But I'll give you some details at the end of the show. If you want to be a part of the show, you can do so. You can call me up, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I don't know. Maybe you are a disgruntled Nuggets fan. Maybe you're a Nuggets fan and you still got hope that the Nuggets are going to turn things around with Adelman now running the show as coach. I don't know why you'd be happy if you were a Nuggets fan, but if you're a Nuggets fan, feel free to call me. And then I don't expect anybody from Houston to call me after what we saw last night. Cougars just forgetting how to play basketball, forgetting how to hold on to the ball at the end of the game last night. But if you're a Gators fan, feel free to call up as well. We were scheduled to have Corey Brewer join us, a two-time champion with the Florida Gators. This guy had to go coach a basketball game because he's a development coach for the New Orleans Pelicans. Have you seen the Pelicans? Yeah, there's a lot of development to do with that squad and with that team. And so, yes, the phone lines are open. That's 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know what? Let's take a listen to owner, one of the owners, the Kroenke family. They own the Nuggets. They also own the Rams. They also own Arsenal, the football club. We got an explanation why Michael Malone was fired. Despite winning a championship two seasons ago with the Denver Nuggets, he got the boot. And Josh Kroenke, he explained why they fired him with only three games to go in the regular season. Listen to this.
We've lost our last four, and we're trending towards a direction that I thought would probably be a very near end to our season in the near future. And so all that taken into consideration, wanted to try to figure out a way to potentially squeeze as much juice out of the rest of the season mm-hmm. as possible. And I think that, you know, after talking with my father in recent days, we came to the decision that we were going to be changing these roles at the end of the season. And that, you know, with that thinking in our mind that we know that we're going to be changing these roles at the end of the season, then your mind then turns to, well, what is the best decision for this group right now? And, you know, from that point forward, I think that, you know, I became comfortable with the thinking of, you know, let's try to shake this tree and squeeze as much out of this as we can.
Hickey, the tree is dead already, okay? There's no juice in the fruit. There's no fruit on the tree. It's dead. What the heck is he thinking?
Yeah, I'm with you. Not even water can revive this tree. It is D-E-A-D, dead.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that they can do. I mean, in the offseason, what can you do? Unless you do have a new GM who comes in and, like, the only thing that, who can they move? Jamal Murray is in the middle of a big contract, can never stay healthy. He wasn't healthy before they won a championship. He was healthy in that stretch and then they won. Michael Porter Jr., I mean, he was injured coming into the NBA, which is one of the reasons that he was unheralded. And I feel like he's just a streaky jump shooter at this point, running around on a max contract. Like, those are their two biggest assets. And who the hell is taking Michael Porter Jr. on with all the ups and downs? So I have no idea what the Denver Nuggets can do. I don't know if they get lucky at some point with some young hotshot that just falls out of the sky to help out Nikola Jokic. But we know this. He's a one-man team. It's a one-man gang. And this Denver Nuggets team is ultimately cooked. And so to think that at the end of the season that you're going to fire the head coach, that you're going to fire the general manager, and that things are going to change, it's absolutely asinine. It's 3 games left in the regular season. I mean, you know what? This is akin to, I don't know, firing your CFO or firing your company's accountant like 3 days before he needs to present the books. Like, what are we doing? Oh, he's doing a slow job. He's doing terrible. I'm going to hire somebody else at the end to fix it. No, you're just making things more messy. Just wait until you get through the fiscal year, finish up the season, and then evaluate things in the off season. This is dumb. This is not trade Luka Doncic to the Lakers dumb, but this is stupid. I can certainly understand the justification for looking at the head coach, looking at the guy who constructed the team, at least over the past couple of years, and going, hey, they don't get along. They don't play well together. Somebody has to go. But both of them? Ridiculous. And I don't know, maybe this is a message for anybody listening to me right now. If you have that annoying-ass coworker, if you got to work with somebody that you can't stand, every now and then, you have to grin and you have to bear it. Otherwise, both of y'all may get the boot. Word to the wise. Damn. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Imagine being these two. They didn't expect to get fired today. They just woke up and just like, hey, both of y'all suck. Y'all both gone. Y'all don't like each other. Goodbye. That's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. That's on the NBA side. Last night, we all know about how terribly Houston gave up a chance and an opportunity to win a national championship. If you were alive in 83, heartbreaking fashion, losing to NC State, here we are in 2025, almost 40 years later, and just another miserable performance down the stretch, costing Kelvin Sampson, costing the university, costing everybody a national championship. They were up 12 points. Just gave the ball over. Butterfingers, time after time after time. Couldn't even get off a shot at the end of the game. Kelvin Sampson spoke to CBS afterwards. This is 36 years of being a coach. This is his first time coaching a national championship game. He is 0 for 1. He may never get another crack or an opportunity ever. This is what he told CBS after the game.
I'm so proud of this team for what they've done. You know, winning the Big 12, winning the Big 12 tournament, winning 5 consecutive games and coming within the eyelash of winning a national championship. I love these kids. I love this staff. I love this program. And this one hurts. This one stings. But, you know, at some point, these guys will realize how special they are.
Yeah. when they have grandkids. And they can sit back comfortably and just go, yeah, you know, back in my day. Not today, not tomorrow, not next year, not the year after that. It's always, to a certain degree, going to sting. And congratulations to the Florida Gators. Todd Golden, he's 39 years old, not 69. You would think that down in Florida, down in Gainesville, he's just getting started. You would think so. He's the third youngest head coach at 39 years old to ever win the national championship. And this is what he had to say about being one of the youngest to ever do it.
I'm just a piece of this puzzle, you know. I've been able to put together an incredible staff and recruit great student athletes over these last 3 years. And, you know, we've stayed the course all year and worked really hard. And, you know, my best answer is I'm just really proud. You know, I'm proud to be the head coach of Florida. I'm proud of the way our players performed. And I'm proud of the way our staff prepared our guys to become national champions.
Man, SEC is rolling, isn't it? And not just in football anymore. Man, it's like they've taken some of that football money and said, man, let's throw some over to the basketball side, too. And we know a lot of it is how much money you can throw out a player to come over and play. We get it. The SEC is like the next step to the pros, man. Come on. I don't care if it's the NFL. I don't care if it's now the NBA. The SEC is moving. 14 teams went to the NCAA tournament. Seven went to the Sweet 16. We saw what Florida did last night, winning the national championship. That's crazy. The SEC is where the money's at. Basketball and football. The SEC Men's Basketball Associate Commissioner, Garth Glissman, he spoke to the media. He was on Sirius XM. And he basically said the goal of the SEC is just to be the best conference, period, especially in basketball. Listen.
Our goal, I should say, at the SEC is to sustain success as the best conference in college basketball on an annual basis, such that our fans and our teams and everybody in college basketball knows that the best teams in the SEC are going to have a chance to compete for the national championship every single year. And while, as I said, it would be unrealistic to think that statistically we're going to be able to match the season that we just had. I mean, it was a historic outlier. Those just don't happen routinely. But what we can do is be the very best conference in college basketball on a regular basis.
Listen, the more success that the conference has, the more success that the teams have, the more success the teams have, the more money they all make. Everybody gets rich, including the players. I think sooner than later, I think over the summertime, the players are going to be entitled to a share of the revenue that's generated. You might as well make more money. More money for me means more money for you. The SEC, it's not just about football anymore. And basketball taking over as well. Hickey, when you gonna move to the South? When is Penn State gonna move to the South, huh? When are they gonna get to the real big boys?
They are in the big boys. The Big Ten are, at least in football wise.
Oh boy, here we go.
Two reigning national champs. What's the SEC got? Nothing.
Oh my God.
Come at me. Let's go.
The Big Ten had to snatch up the whole entire country. How about that?
Hey.
Coast to coast. What are we doing?
SEC started it. Getting Texas and Oklahoma in there. USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, not in the Big Ten. If Texas and Oklahoma don't go to the SEC.
Bro, that's the South.
It's the Midwest. That's the Southwest.
The Texas?
You want to say, if you want to draw a line on the Mason-Dixon line, then sure, technically, Texas and Oklahoma are South, but the SEC is South.
Oh, come on.
Eastern.
You're making conference. It. Yeah, that makes it sound like we got one team in Gainesville and another team in Phoenix. Come on, man.
I mean, Columbia, Missouri is not that far away from Phoenix.
Yeah,
you got
but
the middle of the country covered. You got the southwestern part of the country covered.
Yeah, but that's as far north as anybody's going to get. Come on. Look, we don't got no SEC. It's Southeastern Conference, okay? We don't have no teams in There ain't no Boise team, ain't no bluegrass teams in the SEC.
Look, the Big Ten, they don't. They only just care about the number of teams. They don't care where the geography is. There's no geography in the name Big Ten. Just ignore the fact that there's 18 teams in the Big Ten.
Okay, all right. I think Big Ten, I think big Midwest.
I agree. When I hear SEC, I think Southeast, not Southwest.
Oh, come on.
There's an airline for that.
I heard that they're going to start charging for bags. Is that what they're doing now?
And picking your seat too, right? Am I wrong? Am I right about that?
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to create my own airplane. My own airliner, huh? JR Air. Why not? How much does it cost to start a service? Like a couple billion?
Conservatively.
Uh-oh. Speaking of travel, there's Tracy Morgan.
There he is. Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, what a crowd here. Boston Celtics, New York Knicks. Hey, it's Roger Goodell and Wayne Gretzky. And who's that guy, the pervert from that owns the that guy's name?
Robert Kraft.
Yeah, he owns the Patriots. He's there.
Oh my God.
was he with some of the Celtics old owners or the new ones? I didn't see.
I did not. I just saw Roger Goodell and him. I did not notice or even really look at the other two guys flanking
them.
Yeah,
CC Sabathia was sitting next to Michael Strahan. That's nice.
Carmelo Anthony, future Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony was waving to everybody. Got a nice round of applause. Now, typically, I see this. Maybe I missed it last night. I don't know. We were on air. Maybe it was just in the stadium, in the arena, what have you. Did they honor or showcase the guys that were going into the Hall of Fame? Did you see that?
I did not.
Because typically what they do at halftime is they go, here are the guys going into the Hall of Fame. And they'll bring out like Carmelo and Dwight Howard, whoever the hell else is going in. Didn't notice that last night.
Well, also on the broadcast, you got like 10 guys there. They got to get a word in. So I don't think they can afford to pay those guys to say a few words and also show the Hall of Fame ceremony, or at least give those inducted guys some love.
I just Googled it. Maybe I got to Google some more. I don't even see a photo here, man.
Would they do it during the Final Four on Saturday instead, you think?
You know what? No, I remember seeing it. I remember seeing it on Monday night. Like, it took place. It took place during the chance. Hickey, this thing I actually remember, because I was in Houston. It was 2011, and I had amazing seats. I must have sat in, like, the third or fourth row. And I remember, and I think it was at the championship game.
Duke Butler?
2011? It was Butler. I think it was UConn versus Butler. Was it UConn Butler in 2011?
Yeah, I think Butler, maybe Duke was 2010. I didn't mean to throw her off there, but I was just going to pop to my mind.
No, I told you, I don't remember half of the stuff that I see, even if it's in front of me. Oh, yeah, it was. UConn beat Butler. They beat him 53-41.
Wow, 41 points in a college basketball game. Now, we weren't that far off yesterday, but still.
Well, come on, man. When's the last time Butler's been worth anything? I mean, we got the guy who... Huh?
So not since then.
Yeah, the guy who's leading them is now running the Boston Celtics. I mean, what are we supposed to do with that? As the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks play a good game, 78-78, with all of these stars in attendance. And Tracy Morgan was sitting next to Ben Stiller. Good for him. Didn't vomit into his clothes. So that's...
Stay away from the undercooked meat, Tracy, please.
How about that, right? And I was talking about traveling, and then all of a sudden, Tracy Morgan pops up on the screen. He knows how to make some money out of a traveling incident, unfortunately. Thank God he's alive. I'm going to Google how to start an airline, Hickey. I'm gonna do that in a break. There has to be money there as well, so... The JR Sport Beat Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders. He was mentioned in the last hour about his draft stock and his status. There have been a lot of rumors about Shedeur falling, and one of our callers even said that ultimately Deion is going to coach his son in the NFL, potentially for the Giants. What? We'll get into that on the other side of the break. We'll take a look at everything else going on in the world of sports. And then, of course, at the end, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Well, thank you for listening. I wouldn't be here if you didn't listen, so I appreciate you. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, there's a lot going on in New York. We just told you about all the celebrities and owners and dignitaries and Camille. Everybody is witnessing the Boston Celtics beat the Knicks 83-78. The New York Knicks are still trying to figure out how to beat the Celtics and the Cavs, but we'll see about that. I don't think they have enough firepower, but a different conversation for another day. Speaking of New York, we had one caller who said that Shedeur Sanders is ultimately on his way to the New York Giants. The New York Giants have the third selection in the draft. We talked yesterday and actually heard from the Tennessee Titans, who decided to cancel a private workout with Shedeur Sanders after watching him work out at Colorado's Pro Day. The Cleveland Browns, we know they need a quarterback. Giants, they got an interesting quarterback room, that they have no quarterback of the future. I mean, you got Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Tommy DeVito. They can stand to draft a QB. Patriots don't need one. Jaguars don't need one. You think about it, the Raiders just gave Geno Smith a contract extension, but I don't think that would preclude them from using a draft pick at some point on a quarterback, maybe at not as high as six. The New York Jets, they have a quarterback in Justin Fields. Would they draft a quarterback this high? I don't think so. Carolina Panthers, I don't think they would go, you know, past Bryce Young. Saints, Carr is not going to be there forever. Carr and the Saints are about sick of each other at this point in time. They're just, they're together out of necessity. And so what does this mean for Shedeur? There's so many conversations about his draft stock slipping. It's kind of bad. You know what? Matter of fact, Pat Shurmur, who was the offensive coordinator for the Buffaloes, he was on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he basically said whoever gets Shedeur is going to be very happy. Listen to this.
I think he's a little bit like Travis in a lot of ways. I mean, he's done a lot through his college career. He's helped reestablish winning at two different programs. He obviously was super productive for us as a passer. He got us in the end zone a bunch of times. He helped us win nine games this year. I'm obviously very biased because I got a chance to work with him the last 2 years and see him develop. But I think he's got such a bright future. I think any team that chooses him is going to be really happy with their choice.
Oh, I mean, this is the time of year. Maybe somebody like the Saints, maybe they want to draft him. Maybe that's why we have all these negative stories. He sucks. We don't like him. He's patting the football. Maybe all these stories are coming out to drive down his stock and to drive down his value so he can go out there and slip. I'll tell you this, though. The gentleman who called and talked about Shedeur in New York, I said there's too much going on in New York. Like, Shedeur Sanders in New York sounds good. But if you're the New York Giants and you've always been vanilla, you've always played it straight, you've always been conservative, you've never been outlandish, the New York Giants are not the Jets. There are no footman stories. There's no let's get a snack. There's no butt fumbles. Like, they sucked. But there's not the nonsense that you get with the Jets. I don't know if the Giants would want that type of excitement. Would they draft Shedeur? Yeah, I think so. But if you're Daboll, if you're Joe Shane, do you want to entertain that? Do you want that added stress going into what could ultimately be a final year for you? Or do you extend yourself? It's a massive gamble. I mean, the New York Jets took a massive gamble and said, we'll bring in Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career and try to go for broke. It didn't work. Here they are starting over again with Justin Fields and a new head coach in Aaron Glenn. The New York Giants going to swing on using a rookie quarterback to learn from Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston? That quarterback room would be nuts. Hickey, if you're the Giants, would you entertain bringing in Shedeur?
I would entertain it. I wouldn't do it, but I don't think you can sit here and completely rule it out. But I think if you sit there and it's Abdul Carter and or Travis Hunter and Shedeur, I would take one of the two true generational talents over Shedeur at three.
Yeah. You got to go the safer route, huh?
I think so, too. And just, I mean, I just don't think Shador is worth the third overall pick. And I don't think if you're the Giants, like, I just don't think drafting a quarterback is going to save Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's jobs. We've seen plenty of coaches get fired after, you know, by drafting a rookie, and then 1 year later they're gone. So it's not like, okay, we got to draft him so we can buy ourselves 2 years. You draft him, if he's not the guy and he stinks, you're getting fired in October or November.
Yeah,
it won't save you.
They'd be getting themselves a headache if they drafted him. Because then all year long, the story is going to be, hey, Russell sucks. Where's Shador? Are you going to put in Jameis? Is Shador ready? It's just going to be, it's going to be unnecessary drama for the New York Giants. Ultimately, I don't think they will select Shador. I'd be surprised if they do so. And if they did, I think the New York Giants would be going out on the biggest limb, one of the biggest limbs that they've ever done in franchise history. So we'll see what the Mara's appetite is, or John Mara's appetite is, for a little, I don't want to say dysfunction, but Hollywood. We know New York is a Hollywood type of place, and I just don't know if the New York Giants have ever embraced that. And I don't know if they want to go ahead and quote unquote bring the circus to town, because you wouldn't just bringing in Shador. You'd have his dad there, Dion, kind of lurking as well. Speaking of the circus in New York City, the New York Knicks are still trying to keep up with these Celtics. 91-85. Knicks have yet to beat, you know, any of these good teams in the East. I think they're 0-6. I might be 0-6 tonight against the Cavaliers as well as the Celtics. The Knicks are just wasting everybody's time out here. We'll see. And then, Hickey, speaking of the Celtics, we haven't heard much from Joe Mazzulla this year. I feel like this Celtics season is just like one big yawn. Let me know when the finals start. But Joe Mazzulla was asked about the firing of Michael Malone. They really asked him something about this?
They did, and he answered in only Joe Mazzulla fashion that he could.
Let me take a guess. He said he does not care, right? That this is life. Well, he said something boring.
I think this is entertaining. I think you'll be surprised.
Here's Joe Mazzulla on the firing of Michael Malone.
To me, I wake up every day and I say, you know, I find a balance of, you know, I mean, it's part of what motivates me, but I wake up every day saying this could be my last day. And that's not, you know, it's just, you have to have that type of perspective, because it gives you gratitude. It also keeps you, you know, hungry. And so it's just, you have to have a healthy balance of, you want this for as long as you can. At the same time, you're very much replaceable, because, you know, that's just how it works. And, you know, so every day I remind myself of my own mortality. And I think that's what kind of keeps me in a perspective and, you know, and a gratitude of, you know, the opportunity that you have.
So which one day he's going to get fired, or one day he's going to die, or they're going to kill him at the job, or his job mortality? Like, what is he talking about?
All the above. I think his job, his life.
It's like one day I'm going to die. So if they fire me, they fire me. I'm going to die one day anyway. Damn.
Do you do the same thing? Is that part of your morning routine? Wake up and remind yourself I'm going to be dead one day?
That's going to motivate me. One day I'm going to die. Let me get it over with, right?
Wouldn't you think the other way? Like, okay, I'm going to die one day. So let me make sure this day, if it is this day, I'm having the best day possible.
Is that what he meant? That's what he meant, right? That's what he said.
Well, if you woke up with the mindset of, this could be my last day, are you really going to go to work? Do you want to spend your last day on this earth at work?
Well, you have to do it just in case, you know. I guess that's his point. I don't know. That's a tough dude, man. And they say he does MMA and jujitsu and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and gets choked out. He's hurt himself.
He shows up to work with a black eye. I don't know. You think he's doing that to himself?
I hope not.
I don't know.
There was someone who choked themselves out. I think it would be Joe Mazzulla.
Imagine if he wins a second championship, which is very possible this year. Is he going to smile? Is he going to do anything?
No.
Yeah. I wonder if him and Belichick talk. Wow.
Shortest sentences ever.
I know, right? How about that? That's not the... Oh, my. Carl Anthony. Okay, game over. Carl Anthony Towns trying dunks out here, getting rejected and fouled. Anyway, this is not the only weird New York story. Hickey, Cody Bellinger, he was out from eating bad chicken wings today? What?
Apparently, yeah. Had some bad chicken wings out in Detroit that had him puking, and he was no go for today. How about that?
What? Aren't baseball players like finely conditioned athletes?
Supposedly.
He was eating chicken wings in Detroit and got sick today.
Chicken wings in Detroit on a cold day. I don't think that matters that much, but still.
Yeah. Yankees got smoked today by Detroit 5-0. Like 30-something degrees up there. They were playing in the snow yesterday. And today they got beat by Scooble. And this guy was out sick due to bad chicken wings. Okay. Hey, Marco, you been there before? Bad chicken wings put you out of work?
I don't know if it put me out of work. Definitely made some days rough.
Oh, my God. Cody Bellinger better get it together. Now the New York Yankees got a record of 6-5.
Sounds about right. 3 straight losses.
Yeah, Aaron Judge is going to hit 50 home runs and drive in 150 RBIs. The Yankees will be like 81-81. Am I off, Marco? Am I off?
A little bit. They're going to be around 85, 86 wins if he plays the whole season. But, yeah, roughly the same.
Not going to sprain no foot in a fence, is he?
Well, let's see. You know, if it breaks rib diving or has to fall into a fence and hurts his foot again. You never know.
That's what happens when you – how big is that guy? 6'7"?
6'7", 6'8", something like that.
This guy's like a – this dude is a power forward player. He is, he's bigger than Karl Malone. Think about that. He's bigger than Karl Malone.
I just know he's bigger than 6'6", because he's bigger than Dave Winfield. That was always the guy that I thought of that was like a monster, and Judge is bigger.
Yeah. He's like Charles Oakley playing baseball. Like, what is he doing? Why isn't he playing power forward for the Nuggets? Why isn't he playing next to Jokic?
360 mil. Swing a bat.
Okay.
Jog lightly around the bases. Sounds about right to me.
Oh, don't, well, not for Stan can't run around the bases.
I said jog lightly.
Hey, he can't do that either.
Well, no.
He's getting a lot of money.
But he got like $325 million, though. So.
Yeah, he did. Not to run. What a world. I want to be able to get paid to not do my job part of the time. Okay.
Which goes back to your original point. Chicken wings, these are not athletes. They're baseball players. There's a difference.
No. And David Wells, wasn't he drunk during it? He was hungover, right?
And threw a perfect game. These are not athletes. They're baseball players. It's a big difference.
No, less thinking when you're hungover, right? He's sharper. There's less thinking, right?
Sure. You could look at that way, yeah.
Well, he did it. We need more drunk baseball players on the field.
There's a pitcher who threw a perfect game on ecstasy. I forget who it was.
Was he perfect?
No, one of the two.
It's not the guy that's not alive, right?
No, it was... Oh, it was in the 70s.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Doc Ellis? Does that sound right?
Gotta look it up. I should have looked it up before.
I can't remember.
Highlights the fact that...
I can picture his face. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, but we're being very clear here not to do drugs, right?
Right. Yeah. No, right. Drugs are bad. Drugs are bad.
No drugs.
No drugs. You don't throw perfect games just because you're on drugs. There's talent involved.
Yeah. Barry Bonds, yeah. Yeah, don't do
Doc Ellis. Good call.
I'm right. Okay.
Don't LSD. Do drugs.
LSD.
Yeah. LSD. No.
But don't do that.
He was tripping. Yeah.
No. He was tripping. Hey, don't do drugs, people. Okay. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We're going to talk about one of the most upstanding individuals in sports. Please believe his record-breaking feat this day. Almost 51 years ago, no drugs involved. Quite honorable. I'll tell you what it is.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Back. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Today is April 8th. The year is 2025. 51 years ago today, April 8th, 1974, Hank Aaron, Hammerin' Hank, he broke Babe Ruth's home run record with his 700th 715th home run. He did it in the fourth inning off of Al Downing. You might recall the scene in Fulton County Stadium, about 5-minute drive from here where I am, where it used to be. As he rounded the bases, he was surrounded by the fans, and then we had that famous call by Vin Scully. I want you to listen to this sound courtesy of Major League Baseball.
Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
Man, more than 53,000 people were in attendance when Hank Aaron hit number 715. He finished his career with 755. You know, ultimately, Barry Bonds went ahead and swatted 762. And I got to give Hank Aaron credit. You know, he never bashed Barry Bonds. He never beat him up. You knew that he wasn't happy with how the record was attained or how it was gotten. But he never discredited Barry Bonds. He never did. I give him credit. And I got to tell you, Hank Aaron, I'm happy I met him when I did in 2019. It was like meeting a superhero. And he was so warm, kind, and gracious. I'm so happy I got a chance to meet and talk to him prior to his passing. And the Atlanta Braves do a tremendous job in every respect in honoring the legend of Hank Aaron. And so kudos to the Braves as well. Hank Aaron hitting number 715 in 1974. April 8th, 2001, Tiger Woods, he won the Masters for the second time. But in 2001... it was a clean sweep of the majors in a calendar year. Let's go back to 2001 and listen to Tiger Woods post-match as he talks about winning four consecutive majors. This is on CBS.
It's hard to explain. It's like it's an eerie calmness. I succeeded in what I wanted to accomplish, and it feels great, but I don't really feel ecstatic yet because it hasn't sunk in. You know, I was grinding all day. Watching the board with David making a move and Phil in my group playing well. I mean, I was so zoned out that I kind of forgot what the whole thing was all about.
Yeah, we know Tiger. He might as well be done. 15 majors. Doesn't look like he'll go out there and catch Jack Nicklaus at 18. And now he's hanging out with a woman that is his girlfriend that he wants to keep private that he announced publicly. Thank you, Tiger Woods. April 8th, 2013. Louisville, the Cardinals of basketball, beat Michigan 82-76 to win the national championship. And Rick Pitino, he becomes the first college basketball coach to ever win a championship at two different schools. He did it with Louisville, and before then, he did it in 1996 with Kentucky. Let's go back in time, 2013. Rick Pitino postgame says winning the title with Louisville is one of the greatest experiences of his life.
This is one of the most gratifying experiences of my life. For what this, when I gave those goals, they were a little unrealistic and very demanding. And for those players to win 16 games, win a Big East championship, beat number one seeds, show that courage against Duke. And quite frankly, the coaches that I went against in this tournament were the best I've ever coached against in my life.
Wow. And here he is. Look at what he's doing now. Almost doing it again with St. John's. Close, but close is not good enough. Hey, speaking of a New York school, well, not a New York school, the New York Knicks, they're trying to actually beat Boston. Knicks are back into it, 103-102. Got about a minute left in the game. The New York Knicks might hold on to get the victory. Still a little bit more time, a few more possessions here. Hickey, the Knicks could win this, and I still wouldn't feel any different about them in the postseason. I think the Celtics think they're going to win a championship again.
Unfortunately, I agree. It would be nice to finally beat a top-tier team in the NBA after going 0-4, but yeah, win or lose does not change my outlook on this team come playoff time.
Yeah. Now, who is the guy on the Celtics with the shiny? Do you see that guy with that shiny sweatsuit? Who the heck is that?
Let's see. You may be a little bit ahead of me. I've not seen the shiny sweatsuit.
There's some Boston Celtics standing around. He looks like he's wearing sequins. I don't know.
Hey, if you're not playing, you got to look good, right?
Is Jaylen Brown out there today? I don't know. Yeah, he is. There's some loser out there in a shiny suit. Anyway, hey, thank you to everybody who joined us. Michael Tulip from the Field of 68. Vinny Benedetto from the Denver Gazette to talk all things. Unfortunately, that loser-ass team firing their coach and their GM today, the Denver Nuggets. And then Michael Tulip coming by to talk college basketball with the Field of 68. And then we'll check in with Corey Brewer. He's kind of busy right now in the Barclays Center. You've been listening to the JR Sport Re-Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You missed a minute or a second, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Don't move here on the Infinity Sports Network. The JR Sport Brief show is done. But Bart Winkler, he's coming up next. Thank you, Hickey.